What up, what up, what up, everybody? This is Michael Steele with a quick take from the Michael Steele Podcast. Check it out.
All right, folks, we are, like I said, having a good conversation with Marcus Flowers, candidate for Congress, 14th Congressional District, looking to unseat Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, or of, you know, I guess AOC's worst nightmare on any given day in the halls of Congress. So Marcus, the congressional piece, what kind of congressman do you want to be? And what are you going to be pressing first for the people of the 14th Congressional District when you get to Congress, whether you are in the majority or the minority? Because that's going to be a jump ball for next year. You could very well be coming in to a Congress with majority leader, God, I can hardly say it, Kevin McCarthy. You know, Scalise will have something to say about that, or some others. But what if that's the case? Regardless, how do you see your service as a congressman? What is it you're looking to accomplish?
Well, I'll start with your second question first. I'm going to work on the things that the people here in our district sorely need: jobs, small businesses, infrastructure, rural health care, one other thing that is really, really important to me. I'm a disabled veteran, suffered a traumatic brain injury. So veterans' issues for me are of paramount importance. Georgia has a lot of veterans, has a lot of military bases. These are the things that I want to work on. COVID's starting to get under control. That was one of the things I talked about before, getting shots in the arms, breaking through some of the disinformation. As far as the type of congressman I would like to be, I want to be the same person I've always been. I've always been able to sit down and talk with people and negotiate. I say to people that, you know, I can work with anybody because I've worked with everybody, you know, from, you know, our allies in the UK, Germany, France, Italy, to our Afghan partners and Iraqi partners there. So, you know, I believe in sitting down and listening to people and compromise. That's the only way I see being able to move forward. You can't, you know, have a conversation with someone from across a stadium, you know, meet on the 50-yard line and start there.
So right.
That's the kind of congressman I'd like to be. You know, I look at people in Congress who I've idolized over the years. You know, you have people like Jim Clyburn, you know, and John McCain, who I met in Baghdad once and had a conversation with him. I thought he was a great man, you know, Republican. You know, sat there and had a conversation with me, just a nobody walking down the halls of the embassy. So, you admire stuff like that.
Right. So, well, that was McCain.
That's kind of person.
That's who he was. Yeah. He saw you in uniform. I'm sure he gravitated immediately. You know,
I wasn't in uniform. I was just in, you know.
Oh, you were just in street clothes. Sure. Even more so. Even more so. Awesome.
Had a brief conversation with me. I thought he was a great man. But yeah, this is before he ran for president. But you know, those are the type of people that, you know, Ted Kennedy, they'd sit down and they talk with the other side. I think we need to get back to that. And no one's talking anymore. This bitter partisanship, you know, it's got to come to an end.
Do you hear that from people in your district? Are you hearing, as you said, you're running because you've listened to people, and what are they saying to you that they're looking for? We all know, Trump won the district 75%. We got it. We know the drama around the last election that elected Taylor Greene. But I would think that in the main, those voters, as you've already touched on, healthcare, infrastructure, jobs, the economy, they do have ideas of what they want those things to be and what they want them to do for them. What are they saying to you about the issue? If you had to say for this district, what's the number one pressing issue that they want done that Marjorie Taylor Greene is not addressing or has not addressed? What would that be?
She hasn't really addressed anything.
Yeah,
we people don't want
right,
their
right. So pretty much everything. Pretty much everything.
They want the work to get done. They don't want to be taxed any harder in the middle class. And I get that. You know, I don't want to tax the middle class any harder because I'm a part of the middle class.
Right.
You know, but they want work to get done. They want government to function. They want an effective and efficient government. You know, no one person's going to be able to solve our problems. And they thought that was going to happen the last time. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But an effective and efficient government can solve a lot of problems. An effective and efficient government should be able to tackle a lot of problems. And right now it's not effective or efficient because we're not talking to each other. You know, the bitter partisanship, once again, it has to end. We got to learn to get back to a place of compromise. That's what's missing.
How's that changed the nature of running for office for you or for anybody? I mean, how you're in an environment where one party is spewing a lie that the election was stolen and the guy that lost actually won. You've got a member who's sitting in the seat that you're going after, who's running around the country, spewing that lie and spreading other lies, conspiracies,
disinformation.
How does that change the way you operate? How do you cut through that? How do you cut through the big lie when you run up against someone in your district who says, "Well, you know, Donald Trump won. They stole the election from him." What do you say to him?
Oh, I meet that person there once again. And, you know, the truth shall set you free. I say, why do you think he won? Did my vote not count? Did your vote not count? You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is sitting there. Think about it, guys. All of these people who are saying that the election was stolen, they were elected on the same ballot.
Yeah, there is that little thing, little sticky point.
Truth shall set you free, Michael. And that's, you know, that's where I begin with. And I don't write those people off. Right. I don't write anyone off. We sit and we'll have a conversation. We'll try and get to the truth. That's who I've always been. That's who I'm going to continue to be. It's about the truth. It's about honor and integrity, Army Corps values. They taught me that. And I'm going to keep being me. Honest, truthful, straightforward.
How do you see I guess one way to put it is the environment, but how do you see the efforts that were created by Stacey Abrams and Ralph Warnock and the impact that they've had on the state of Georgia? Is there any of that comes into play in a district like the 14th? How does that energy that's, you know, surrounding that has surrounded this political process in your state, where you've been the center, the focus of the political universe now for a bit as a state, given the work that was there, the seats that were won, taking both the Senate seats, has that changed the dynamic in Georgia politically? And, you know, for candidates like yourself, does it create its own energy or is it a drag? How does those storylines play out for campaigns like yours?
I think it's a positive. And that movement that you're talking about, it actually started Lucy McBath and Stacey Abrams continued it. And, you know, people said that, you know, there's no way Raphael Warnock or John Ossoff are going to win here in Georgia. That's what they did. And Georgia elected Joe Biden. You know, so there's an energy there. It's palpable. You know, people are hopeful. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of Democrats in the district as well, and they're excited. You know, they think we can do this. You know, so we just need to keep investing in the district. That's what my campaign's all about, investing in the district for Democrats. And I think what you'll see in independents, I think you'll see a lot of people start to move away from, you know, the big lie in very rapid order. People aren't happy about that. Some people, of course, they have bought into it, but we've got to keep telling the truth, and got to keep pushing back on the misinformation and disinformation.
Thanks for downloading this Michael Steele podcast quick take. Now, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts where, guess what? You can review us. You can give us 5 stars. Oh, yeah. I love the 5-star rating. Or you can catch us on iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. lostgolfballs.com.